Boom, a Person of Interest podfic, written by Rendell and read by Jinkio. This work was created for Pod Together 2019.
Bring that ass back like a boom, boom, boom.
Loud music thrummed through John's body like adrenaline. The lyrics lacked imagination, he thought, but it was a good song. The mass of sweaty people all around him were certainly enjoying it, if the fresh surge of energy in their dancing was anything to go by. The crowd also provided good cover for their latest number.
Mr. Reese, have you located Mr. Ladner?
John took the stairs two at a time to the upper level of the nightclub, working on it, Finch. He stared down at the throng of faces, searching quickly and methodically. There, he said, he's dancing.
Dancing?
Harold sounded slightly affronted. John shrugged, though he didn't think Harold was watching at the moment. Maybe he thinks this will be his last chance for a while.
He could be right about that. Harold replied. Unless we can put a stop to his plan to exact revenge against his sister's abusive ex, he will likely end up in prison.
Or worse, John agreed. He ordered a beer from a passing waiter and leaned a hip against the railing that overlooked the main floor. Whatever Ladner was planning, it wasn't going to happen at the club. John saw no reason to pull him away from his current dance partner. A brunette with black framed glasses and a slightly bookish appearance. He's kind of cute. In the background, the faint but ever-present sound of keyboard clacking went quiet.
I beg your pardon?
Ladner's partner, John explained. The guy was too young for John's taste, but then again, most of the clientele here looked young to him. He's a good dancer. The couple had moved past casual grinding and were now making out on the dance floor. He snapped a few pictures for Finch.
Be that as it may,
Harold intoned disapprovingly,
need I remind you that you are there to keep a watchful eye on Mr. Ladner?
Oh, I'm watching. John imagined the sour expression on Harold's face. He grinned. Do you like to dance, Finch? He asked, with a hint of flirtation that always made his partner's ears turn pink. There was a pause before Harold's voice came through the earpiece again.
I'm afraid my limited mobility would make for a less than graceful exhibition on the dance floor, Mr. Reese. I would fit in about as well as a beach ball in a Mets game, particularly at the pace of the music we are currently enjoying.
He said, his tone shifting from wistful to sardonic. I'm sure we could find something more your speed, John suggested. Answered Harold, which John decided wasn't a refusal. I think Ladner's in for the night, John reported from his vantage point behind a half-closed door. They just went to his apartment. In the silence of the stairwell, he could hear Harold's surveillance still picking up the noises Ladner and his enthusiastic friend were making.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Harold delicately dragged out the word.
From what I can hear, they are becoming occupied.
John's head tilted to one side, his eyes narrowing. Harold? He asked suspiciously. Did you just try to say that they're getting busy?
I believe that's the appropriate colloquialism for the situation, yes?
Came the offhand reply.
I've set an alert to notify us the moment Mr. Ladner leaves his apartment, Mr. Reese. You might as well head home for the evening.
The very interesting sounds coming from Finch's end of the call abruptly cut off. You sure Ladner's sister is safe? John started making his way downstairs.
Miss Ladner's plane arrived in Portland 30 minutes ago. She'll be staying with family there for the next 2 weeks, and I found no evidence that her ex-boyfriend is planning to follow her. Daniel Cook appears to be an opportunistic criminal, the type who will take his temper out on whatever unfortunate person is standing in front of him when his ire is raised. It's purely happenstance that the man hasn't killed anyone yet. He seems to be a manslaughter waiting to happen.
Sounds like I need to have a talk with Cook, John growled.
I have no doubt that he could benefit from such a discussion. However, I have managed to cobble together enough information to bring him to the attention of the NYPD. Detective Fusco will speak with Mr. Cook tomorrow. You'll need to stay close to Mr. Ladner to ensure that he doesn't confront Mr. Cook in the meantime.
All right, Finch, we'll try it your way, John sighed, climbing into his car. But if that doesn't work, he trailed off warningly.
If Detective Fusco interviews some of Mr. Cook's former acquaintances and is unable to build a case against him, Mr. Reese, I will gladly put you in a room with the man and hold your coat while you talk to him.
John chuckled quietly. I'll hold you to that, Harold. Harold was at his desk when John got back to the library. It eased something in John's chest to see him there, tapping at the keyboard, applying himself to work that never seemed to end. Sharing this space with Harold felt comfortable. Having him within eyesight, knowing firsthand that he was safe, allowed John to relax in a way that he couldn't when they were apart. Logically, John understood that Harold was a grown man with a brilliant mind who was capable of taking care of himself. Unfortunately, logic was powerless against the deep-seated fear of losing another person who was so important to him. The desk chair swiveled silently as Harold rotated to face the doorway. "Mr. Reese," he said, "I wasn't expecting you back this evening." Although he'd phrased it as a statement, the question was clear. Raising his eyebrows, John gazed at his boss with exaggerated innocence. "No? You did say I should come home, Finch," he reminded. Harold's lips pursed to one side. Clearly, he was unimpressed by John's butter wouldn't melt coyness. It was exactly the look John had been aiming for. He was getting to be very good at predicting and provoking these little Harold-esque moments. Not that his partner had become predictable. No, he chose to give John what he wanted in their private game of back and forth. And John knew it, and he loved it. John's teasing expression smoothed into a warm, genuine smile, which softened further when that sharp gaze flicked quickly to his mouth and away. John stood watching for another minute. He saw the red flush begin to creep up the back of his partner's neck, and knew better than to keep pushing. Instead, he turned his attention to the room's other occupant. Bear had been patient, perking up in his comfortable bed the moment John walked in and waiting to be acknowledged. The soft, regular thump of his tail picked up speed when John looked at him. Crouching down to give Bear a scratch behind the ear served a dual purpose. It gave Harold the time he needed to regain his composure, and it delighted Bear to no end. With all of his training and skill as a guard dog, Bear could be as gentle as a puppy. He was inherently sweet and deeply loyal to those he loved, his family. And yes, John possessed enough self-awareness to recognize the parallels. He looked over his shoulder at the man who had somehow become his family, more so than Harold even realized. Or did he? It was impossible to be sure. For a billionaire genius, Harold had a surprisingly modest self-image. It was one of his most endearing qualities. After a last vigorous round of head rubs, John got to his feet, nervously wiping warm palms up and down his thighs as he rose. He managed to tamp down the urge to clear his throat, but he'd no sooner opened his mouth to speak than Harold beat him to it. "What is it, Mr. Reese?" Harold said, fingers tapping away. That was a fair question, thought John. What was he doing there? What did he expect to gain? What the hell did he even want? Okay, that last one wasn't hard to answer. John knew what he wanted, if not how to get it. The real question, the one he'd been struggling with, was whether or not he should even make the attempt. Was it worth it? Standing in the library, the place that felt more like home than anywhere else had felt for a very long time, and staring at Harold, John's partner and friend, he didn't underestimate the risk. John fully appreciated what he had to lose and what he had to gain. He'd been silent too long. Harold twisted slightly, quirking a curious brow at him before focusing back on his work. John licked his lips and decided, yeah, it was worth it. Harold was worth any risk. He stepped closer. I thought I'd stop by for that dance we talked about. It was rare that John managed to surprise his boss. This was one of those times. Startled blue eyes locked on him so quickly that John could only hope Harold hadn't hurt his neck. Excuse me? He asked incredulously. For some reason, the strong reaction helped to settle John's nerves. Harold was far too observant to be completely unaware of John's feelings. However, he obviously hadn't expected him to act on them. Maybe he'd dreamed up excuses for John's attraction, putting it down to boredom or loneliness or simple curiosity. If John thought about it too much, he might be hurt that Harold hadn't, for a moment, believed his feelings to be genuine. So he didn't think about that. He just let some of his hopes and fears show in his face and took another step closer. Slowly, he held out a hand. May I have this dance? Harold's surprise didn't let up, despite the rapid calculations John could practically hear going on in his head. A few seconds passed like that before Harold reached out, placing a careful hand in John's as if he thought it might be pulled back at the last moment. If he didn't realize yet that John didn't want to deny him anything, it wouldn't be long before he did. Harold was a quick learner. He stood, still looking mildly confused by this turn of events and disappointed in himself for his lack of foresight, but he didn't look at all repulsed by the ideas John could see forming behind his eyes. They moved together, John steering them gently but firmly away from the desk. His heart was beating so hard in his chest that Harold could probably feel it when they touched. That was okay. John's arms wrapped around his partner's waist, pulling him closer, and Harold's hands slid up John's biceps, fingers spreading and closing restlessly. It was more an embrace than a dance. John was fine with that, too. Harold started. John could see the pulse racing in his neck. We don't have any music, Mr. Reese, he said. He was mostly looking over John's shoulder, with occasional darting glances at his face. Smiling helplessly, John leaned in. He could feel Harold's soft, spiky hair against his skin, could smell his aftershave, and hear the hitch in his breath. Then they began to sway, feet barely moving, and Harold rested his forehead on John's shoulder. So it was technically a dance. If anyone asked, John would say it counted. They were doing pretty well without music, too, he thought. But if it would make Harold happy. John's cheek was pressed to Harold's, his mouth ghosting over the shell of Harold's ear. Boom, he murmured, and he felt Harold's soft huff of laughter. He couldn't say how long it lasted exactly, the gentle swaying interspersed by an occasional quiet boom, boom. He could hear Bear's snuffling breaths even out into a light snore. And when John opened his eyes, he could see that Harold's monitors had gone dark. It was late. Harold was probably tired. John was afraid to let him go. Whatever spell they'd managed to weave around themselves that night, he didn't want it to break with the next sunrise, the next number. "You're trembling," Harold's muffled voice said into his suit jacket. John swallowed past the lump of worry sticking in his throat. "What happens tomorrow?" he finally asked. Harold lifted his head, leaning back until they were face to face. His hand slid upward to stroke the back of John's neck, fingertips pushing into his hair. There was no confusion left in his expression, none of the worry or doubt that had plagued John. He looked happy. "Anything we want to happen," he answered, and a small, secret smile curled the corners of his mouth. "What would you like to happen?" John pulled him close and kissed him. The end. This was Boom, a Person of Interest podfic, written by Rendell and read by Jinky O for Pod Together 2019. The music is Boom by Tiesto and Seven, with vocals by Gucci Mane. If you enjoyed this story or the podfic of this story, please leave a comment or kudos on the archive of our own posting. Thank you for listening.
Bring that ass back like a boom, 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 boom.
In the club going real hard. About to leave and go any harder. When it puts splash like water.